Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at two parables today. The parable of the lamp and the parable of the measure. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. Over the next month and a half or so, I'm going to be stopping this series on Mark for a little. And I'm going to do a short series in conjunction with the Peacemakers class that's going to be going on, that'll be offered this semester during church. It'll be about four or five sermons. I'm not sure exactly yet. But then after that, we'll come back to Mark. But we'll be taking a break after this week from Mark for a little. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. This is the eternal word of God. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." God bless the reading of his word. Over the years, I've seen a lot of movies and I've read a lot of books. And some of the best stories that I've read, stories that I've enjoyed the most, are often hard to figure out at the beginning. As the story develops, you try to put pieces together, but it doesn't quite make sense. There remains a mystery throughout the whole story, and you can't quite figure out what's going on until the end. And in the end, everything's explained, and you think back, oh yeah, that's why that had to happen back then. It didn't make sense to you when you watched it, but now it makes sense. Once you heard the end, all the pieces began to fit together. Lots of good stories and TV shows and books work this way. Throughout most of the story, there's a mysterious hidden meaning behind it. There's something mysterious about it, and you can't quite grasp it until the end. And in the end, everything is revealed. Well, God has structured his world, and he structured his word in such a way that it has mystery to it. Back in the Old Testament, things were a lot more mysterious than they are for us today. Today, God has revealed himself in a great way through Jesus Christ. And he took a lot of that mystery away. But obviously, some mystery still exists. Do you ever read the Bible and just scratch your head sometimes and wonder, what in the world is God saying here? What does it mean? What's he meaning here? It's so confusing. And there's a lot more confusing things in the Old Testament, but there are quite a few mysteries in the New Testament as well. There's mystery in the areas of theology and doctrine. And that's why we have different denominations, because we understand things differently. There's mystery. The Bible isn't completely clear on everything. Well, the passage that we're going to deal with today, that we're looking at, is mysterious. And in this mysterious passage, Jesus speaks to the idea of mystery. And he assures us that just like a good movie or a good story or a good book, these mysteries will eventually come to light. These mysteries are partially accessible now, but in the end, everything will be understood clearly. And all mystery will be gone. Jesus recognizes that we live in the midst of mystery. The kingdom of God is mysterious. But he gives us this command in this passage. He says, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." And then he says, "Listen carefully now." He says this because those who understand the mystery of the kingdom now will share in the glory when that kingdom is fully revealed. We do live in a time of mystery, but now is the time to devote yourself to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, listen carefully now to God's great word. Listen carefully now to the mysteries of the kingdom. Wrestle with them. grab hold of them. Listen carefully. I found this passage that we're looking at to be very mysterious. As I've said, it's quite challenging. And part of the reason that it's challenging is because here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus uses two parables that are also recorded in other Gospels. It's the parable of the lamp and the parable of the measure. And the reason I found them challenging is because before I came upon them here in the book of Mark, I knew these parables in the context of the book of Matthew. In Matthew's Gospel, the meaning of these parables are much more obvious and clear. It says in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Here in the Gospel of Matthew, this parable is a lot easier to understand. It means that we as Christians ought not to try to hide the fact that we are Christians, but in fact we should live openly Christian lives. Let your good deeds be seen by men, that they may see your deeds and praise God. Seems simple here in Matthew. Or the other parable, the parable of the measure. In Matthew 7 it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Or in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you." The idea here is to be gracious when you judge, because then God will be gracious to you. These are simple ideas, simple parables with simple meanings. And I'm a lot more familiar with those meanings in the book of Matthew. But here in the book of Mark, these parables are used in a different context and are a lot more mysterious in their meaning. These parables here in Mark have a different purpose and meaning from the way that they are used in the book of Matthew. That's why it was hard to start out with this passage. So let's look to understand how Jesus uses these parables in the context here in the book of Mark. Jesus has just introduced parables to his disciples. And he tells his disciples that he uses parables to do two things. He uses parables to conceal and to reveal. Parables confuse those who do not believe. They conceal truth. To the unbelieving person, they do not make sense. They conceal truth. They confuse. But to those who believe, parables reveal mysteries to the kingdom of God. Well, very obviously here, the disciples of Jesus, those who believe in Jesus, they also were confused by these parables. They were hard to understand. Jesus had to explain all his parables to his disciples because they couldn't grasp the meaning of them. The parables were confusing. And actually, the disciples were often confused by what Jesus said and did. This isn't the first time that Jesus has confused them. In fact, throughout all the Gospels, the disciples have had difficulty in understanding Jesus. In many instances, they couldn't quite grasp what he was here to do or what he was teaching. They were always confused, it seems. While Jesus was here on earth, he spoke in a very unique way. He often didn't give straight answers, but he gave mysterious answers to questions. He spoke in parables. Jesus and his work and his teachings were often mysterious. Sometimes it's downright comical how the disciples completely miss what Jesus is saying. So many times they don't understand. It's like Jesus and his work and his teaching are intentionally shrouded with this cloak of mystery. Parables are a case in point. What in the world do you mean, Jesus? So right after Jesus confused them with the parable of the sower, you can imagine his disciples thinking, why is he making this so hard? It doesn't have to be this hard. Why do you teach in parables, some of them asked them. Why do you make this confusing? Why is there this shroud of mystery around you and your teachings? Why don't you just make everything obvious to us? It'd be so much easier. I've thought that many times myself. Sometimes I say the same thing when I read the Bible. I wonder, why is there so much mystery? Why can't I understand? Why is there so much difficulty in understanding the Scriptures? Wouldn't being a Christian be a lot easier if everything was absolutely clear in God's Word? Because of the mystery in the Word, there are divisions in the church. There are different denominations. Because there is mystery surrounding the Word, not everything is crystal clear. In a very real way, we share today in the mystery that the disciples were confused with. And sure, we've been revealed, a lot has been revealed to us since this passage that we're looking at today. But don't you ever feel like asking God, why these parables? Why this mystery? Why don't you just make everything clear? It can be frustrating. So Jesus, in these two parables, speaks to this idea of why so much mystery. Jesus begins, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl?" The NIV translates the word here as bowl, but the idea behind it is a bushel basket or a peck measure, something that would be about the size of a 5-gallon bucket. A lamp back then was just, it was just an oil lamp with a wick at the end. Would you bring in one of these oil lamps into a dark house just to put it under a bucket? Or to hide it under your bed? Well, the obvious answer to this rhetorical question is no. If you bring in a lamp and hide it, then it sort of defeats the purpose of the lamp. You're supposed to bring in a lamp so that it gives light to the whole house. You put a lamp on a lampstand so that everything in the house is lit up so you can see. Well, Jesus added, after this parable, he added a short and still mysterious explanation. He says, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open." Jesus readily admits that there is mystery, that there are things that are hidden and concealed. He knows that the disciples are confused. They can't quite grasp what he does and what he says. There is mystery. But he tells them, it's not supposed to be this way forever. A light, he says, is coming in to make everything clear. A light is coming to illuminate the mysteries of those hidden and concealed things. And that lamp is Jesus himself. Jesus is the lamp, the light that has come into the world to reveal all those mysteries. God has brought near, he has brought the kingdom near in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, not just to conceal the kingdom. He didn't bring Jesus to make more mystery, but he brought Jesus in to reveal the glory and the hope and the splendor of the kingdom of God. He came to reveal mysteries, not to make things more mysterious. He came to reveal what is concealed and hidden. God didn't bring the work, he didn't bring the kingdom near in the person of Jesus Christ just to conceal it all the more, but he brought Jesus to shed light on the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Old Testament believers, they knew some things. God had revealed some things to them, many things to them, and I think they knew a lot more than we often give them credit for. But they had a hazy picture of how God exactly was going to bring his salvation. A hazy picture of what this Messiah was going to do and what he would be like. There was a lot of mystery to it. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled the prophecies. And the mystery of God's kingdom was revealed. Jesus reveals God's great plan of salvation. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. Jesus came to illuminate everything. We have to ask yourself, if Jesus came to illuminate, then why does he still speak with mystery? Why did he speak to his disciples in parables? If he came to reveal things, why is he just spitting out more mysteries? Why didn't Jesus give more direct answers to the questions when he was asked? At this point, it seems like he's confusing things all the more, not revealing things. And it's obvious that throughout the Gospels, the disciples never quite understood. They were always a step behind Jesus. What does he mean? They couldn't quite grasp what was going on. Even after Jesus died on the cross, they were confused. After Jesus had been crucified, two disciples were talking together as they were traveling on a road to the town of Emmaus. And they said, "Yeah, we thought he was going to redeem Israel." Implying, I guess we were wrong. We made a mistake. Apparently he's not the one. After spending 3 years with Jesus, and he told them a number of times that he was going to have to die and rise again, they still didn't understand. They couldn't make sense of it. The disciples were a confused bunch. That is until we get to the book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came in and came upon them. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and suddenly, all of a sudden, everything began to make sense. And these disciples turned from confused followers of Jesus Christ into strong, bold leaders of the kingdom. They can now look at the prophecies of the Old Testament and say, oh, that's what God meant when he said in Psalm 16, I will not allow my Holy One to see decay. Or that's what he meant in Isaiah when he says, he was crushed for our iniquities and by his wounds we are healed. Oh, that's what he meant by this parable or by this teaching. The light came on and they were able to see. The mysteries were made clear and they could finally understand what Jesus was talking about this whole time. Jesus is the lamp. And the lamp was brought into the house and it was lit up by the Holy Spirit to shed light on the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And once the Holy Spirit lit up that lamp, those confused followers of Jesus, those fishermen and tax collectors, became fearless, knowledgeable, passionate leaders for the kingdom. Great men of faith. And of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they wrote the New Testament. And the New Testament is simply a revelation of this mystery of the kingdom. It's the revelation of the Old Testament. It's an explanation of the mysteries that Jesus came to reveal. This is what we have today. We have a lot revealed to us, revealed for us. The mysteries have been revealed. We don't recognize how privileged we are to live on this side of the resurrection, on this side of Pentecost. The lamp has come into the house. And the light shines and we see with greater clarity into the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, if Jesus is the lamp and he has already come to shed light on the mysteries of the kingdom, then why are there still mysteries for us today? If the lamp has come and made the room bright, then why is there still mysteries? You can't deny the fact that not everything in the New Testament is perfectly clear and not everything in the Old Testament is perfectly clear. It's not easily understood. Otherwise, there would be no denominations, there would be no doctrinal disputes, no disputes over politics, no disputes on how to live the Christian life. If all mystery were gone, there would be no divisions, no differences. It's obvious, there's still mystery. Well, Jesus said, whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. Everything is not yet disclosed. The mystery of the kingdom is not yet completely revealed. This parable was only partially fulfilled 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into the world. Jesus did shed light on the mysteries of God, but the mysteries will not be fully revealed until Jesus returns a second time, until he returns again. When he returns as that conquering king, and we will see the whole world. The whole world will see him and see the reality of this kingdom. When Jesus returns, all things will be made clear. There will be no more mysteries of the kingdom of God. There will be no more disagreements, no more denominations. Everything will be made clear. Think about it like this. Let's say it's late at night and you are busy cleaning your entire house. And it's dark outside and there's a big storm raging outside and all of a sudden all the electricity goes off. And your house is pitch black. You can't see a thing. So you feel your way into the garage, and in your garage you have a kerosene lamp. You bring the kerosene lamp in and you light it up and it gives light and you can see. A kerosene lamp gives off a good amount of light. But wherever you go, wherever you carry that lamp, there are shadows that are cast on the walls. You can't see clearly as you could when you were working away, when all the electricity was on. But you can see. And you continue your work. You continue cleaning. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, the electricity kicks back on. Your house floods with light, much brighter than what that little kerosene lamp can do. When Jesus came to accomplish our salvation, to pay the price for our freedom with his own blood, he shed light on the world. He revealed mysteries of the kingdom. It's as if during his first advent here, he was that kerosene lamp that reveals much of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that lamp still shines for us today. And we can see and understand a lot, and the Holy Spirit continues to reveal things to us. But there are still shadows. And there are still mysteries. But soon, very soon, at a time that's unknown to anyone, Jesus will appear in the sky and shine brighter. He'll shine so bright that every shadow will be dispelled. Everything that is hidden will be disclosed. Everything that is concealed will be brought out into the open. Every mystery will be made clear. And this parable will be completely fulfilled. So that's what he means by this parable. But in the context of this passage, he gives us a very urgent command. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then, to be redundant, to get his point across, he says, "Listen carefully to what you hear." This is very important for you to understand. This is vital to your life. Why is he commanding you to hear, us to hear, with such urgency? Why is it so important that we know this revelation? So what does it mean for us today? How does this impact our lives today? What does this mean? Well, he says in the next parable, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." Jesus is pointing us to a reality that we cannot see, to a spiritual reality. And he's saying, "Listen carefully to what I tell you now. Because only those who understand the mystery now will share. Only those who look beyond what they can experience through their senses, only those who grab hold of this mystery and believe now will share in the glory that will be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. Listen carefully now, because if you don't grasp the kingdom now, when it's shrouded in this mystery still, it will never be yours. You will never be a part of the kingdom if you don't grab hold of it now, if you don't understand it now. Those of you who harden your hearts and refuse to believe the glorious in this glorious kingdom and in the glorious Savior, and even the little things that you do have, even those things will be taken away from you. You and I, we live in this time of the already and the not yet. A lot has been revealed to us in the Scriptures, and we're very privileged to have that. But there's still a lot of mystery. And the light of Jesus Christ has come, but it has not yet fully revealed all things. It hasn't fully revealed the reality of the kingdom of God. You can't go outside and look up into the sky and see Jesus in his flesh sitting on the throne ruling over all things. But the reality is, he is. Reality, it's real. The cosmic battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan is disguised. And it's easy to live life oblivious to all of it, but it's raging on around us. And we're all a part of it. You can't look down and see the reality of hell that awaits all those who disregard the words of Jesus, all those who reject what he says and reject him as Savior. You can't look up into the sky and see the eternal bliss that awaits the adopted people of God. But both of those things are there. The reality is there. As we go through our lives, we don't see God's angels ministering to us as his messengers to meet our needs. But they're there. They surround us. God's care and protection surrounds us. We cannot yet, through our physical senses, experience the spiritual reality that exists within and beyond this world. But Jesus points to us, and then he says, "Look, set your minds on this." And he tells us, believe it now. Listen carefully to the kingdom now. Wrestle with the mysteries now. Bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus now. Because if you wait until you can see it all, then it's going to be too late. If you wait till everything is going to be revealed, then it's going to be too late. Even the little that you have is going to be taken away from you. Only those who penetrate the mystery of the kingdom of God at this present time, only those who believe in what they cannot see, will share in the glory of the kingdom when it is fully revealed in all of its glory. Only those of you who believe now will be rewarded in the end. You know, the world thinks we're crazy because we believe in things that we cannot see or touch or taste. They think we're crazy because we believe in a physical man, the God-man, Jesus, who rose from the dead. And then in his flesh sits on the throne in heaven, ruling over all the earth. They think we're crazy that we believe in something greater than this world. They think we're crazy because we pledge our loyalty, our ultimate allegiance to a king and a kingdom that we cannot see every day. We can't go and take a look at them. Jesus calls you to believe in something that you cannot hear, see, taste, smell, or touch. But he tells us it's there. And you need to set your eyes upon it. If you're not a part of the kingdom, if you're not right now sensitive to this spiritual reality that mingles with and lies behind the physical world, then one day Jesus is going to return. And he's going to return with such glory and brightness that everyone's going to be able to see the realities of the spiritual realm. When Jesus returns, you are going to be able to look down and see the hell that awaits all those who rejected him. You are going to be able to look around and see all God's angels ministering to the people of God. You are going to be able to look up and see Jesus, that divine king, the conquering king who rules over the entire earth, who will crush everyone who does not believe. You'll be able to see him with your eyes. All mystery will be gone. The light is dim now. You and I, we can't see everything right now, but it's there. It is there. And one day when the electricity comes back on, those shadows will be dispelled and we're going to see the reality of the kingdom of God. We're going to realize that it was there all along. Don't wait until then to believe. Don't wait to believe in the kingdom of God, wanting to experience it through your senses. Oh, I have to see it to believe it. Jesus says, listen carefully now. Grab hold of it now through faith. Spend your time now looking beyond the reality of what you can see and reach into the mystery of the kingdom of God. Spend your eyes, spend your time straining your eyes to look into that kingdom. Listening carefully to the words of Jesus. Spend your time striving for this kingdom. Striving to understand. After Jesus had been crucified on the cross and was buried, 10 of the 11 disciples were gathered in a room. And Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appeared to them in the midst of that room. And they were excited. The only apostle that wasn't there was Thomas. And they went to Thomas and they said, we've seen the Lord. And you remember what Thomas said? He said, unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. I have to see it and feel it to believe it. Well, a week later, the disciples were in that house again, and this time Thomas was with them. He didn't want to miss it a second time. The doors were locked and Jesus in his flesh appeared and he said, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You and I, we don't get to see Jesus in the flesh. We don't get to see the glorious reality of the kingdom. There's a lot that we don't get to see. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet still grab hold of the kingdom. Jesus speaks to you. Stop doubting and believe. There is a reality that you cannot see with your eyes. Jesus has revealed it in part, but not fully. And I urge you on Christ's behalf, stop doubting and believe. Listen carefully now. Believe now in the kingdom that Jesus reveals. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Bow at his throne. Because only those who penetrate the mystery now will share in the glory when it's fully revealed. Set your eyes on the kingdom now. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to be the light of the world, to shed light on the mysteries of your word, the mysteries of the kingdom. And although not everything is revealed, please work in us that we can grab hold of these mysteries and understand them and believe them with all our hearts and souls and minds and strengths. That even though we can't see everything as clearly as we will, that we would believe in it and stake our lives on it. That we would be more sure of this, of the reality of the kingdom of God, than we are more sure of the world that we can see around us. Father, please do this for your glory. Let us live by faith boldly in this world, and let us proclaim these mysteries to the world around us. Do this for Jesus' sake, we ask. Amen. Turn in your Psalters to Psalm